Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh, brothers and sisters. Welcome to your show, The Days of Virtue, inshallah ta'ala. It's the show where we will be talking about the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, inshallah. And we've spoken so much about these 10 days and Ibrahim alayhi salam. And with us to help us along this journey is a Sheikh Mustafa Mahmoud. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sheikh Hisham, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah, Sheikh, when I look at you before you carry on, I will see Noor on you, mashallah.
Barakallahu fiq, Sheikh. It's a reflection of your Noor, mashallah.
Subhanallah.
Sheikhna, in the last episode, we spoke about Ibrahim alayhi salam and stories from the life of Ibrahim and how is that related to the days of Dhul Hijjah, Sheikh. Sheikh, how did Mecca become after the time of Ibrahim and Ismail? Where did it go to until the time of the Prophet?
Subhanallah. Where do I start? It's a long history. And you read Al-Rahiq al-Makhtum, Sirat ibn Hisham, all of these, how they explain to you in detail. It's amazing, subhanAllah. Lakin, to summarize how Mecca was just after Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam and before the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanAllah, is that Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam, first of all, the family of Ismail, because he got married from the Qabila of Jurhum, you notice the Qabila of Jurhum was with Yemeni originally.
Yeah.
Now, when he married there, the family carried on. So it became progenies and generations after generations. Later on, because the Arabs now, everything started changing politically, and we all know about the history. The Arabs used to kill each other's massacres. They engage into battles just because of Jahiliya reasons, you know, their own past history, and because of Qabaliya, tribalism, all of that stuff.
Yes.
It led to the extent that now what happened is that the water well of Zamzam, the family of Ismail and even the rest who were with them, they had to cover it. Now, that's number one. When Zamzam went, nobody knew about it. That's gone. Later on, after that, there were still some people, like you find that Abu Talib or Abdul Muttalib, the family of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from his grandfathers and that, they were, some of them, they were still under the Al-Din Al-Hanifi, still on the monotheism deen, religion and path, according to Ibrahim alayhi salam. But it's been a long time, a century and even more centuries that have passed between them and the revelation or wahi to come to them and a prophet.
Yeah.
So remember, if that's, there is no connection between that, obviously mankind will be swayed away.
Yeah.
And there was no such book that perhaps they can rely on, just like us today, we have the Quran. Allah promised, "Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun." Indeed, we revealed the dhikr, the reminder, which is the Quran. And indeed, we are going to do what? Protect it. Lahafidhun. And Allah used the word hafid. Hafid is a noun, it's not a verb. When we have a noun, normally it's not connected to time. And if it's not connected to time, it's permanent. It's
timeless.
Timeless. Aywa.
Like, so they started doing shirk, Sheikh, in Mecca, and they started doing all of those.
Exactly. Now, when somebody understands that there was a cut, there was no connection between them and wahi and divine revelation,
there was a disconnect,
and that
yes.
Disconnection, khalas. Immediately, mankind starts thinking of a way, how could we connect to something that is greater than us? And to Amr ibn Luhay, all the way to Amr ibn Luhay, he goes to Jerusalem, he goes to Syria. And because Syria is known to be a place where majority of the prophets were there, Isa, Musa, Ibrahim, Jerusalem, all of those, Lut, subhanAllah, they were there. They is known to be the head of Adiyan and Deen. When they went there, they saw people worshipping idols. Amr said that if this is how the people of Jerusalem, this is what they're doing, then long story short, what's going to happen is that then this is the right way to follow. He decides to come back with a god. If I'm not wrong, his name is Hubal.
So he brought idols.
An idol.
And people
one
started
idol.
Worshipping them.
When he came, because he was an influential man. Imagine today, someone having, in social media, 10 million followers, 4 million followers, becoming very influential. And this person, whatever he says, and not even being a scholar perhaps, as long as he says something, everybody believes that this is the right way. How much impact would that person have?
There is a famous actor who today, we won't mention names, he actually started believing in a religion and many people believed in that religion.
SubhanAllah. Now notice, Amr ibn Luhay was in the same position because of the influence that he had when he came back to Mecca, because he was a tradesman. Obviously, he traveled all the way there for trade and came back. And Arabs, that's how they were. If we see Arabs today doing a lot of trade, that's naturally in them.
Yes.
So Amr ibn Luhay, as he comes back to Mecca, immediately he tells the people of Mecca, this is what I found. to be the right way to follow and worship Allah, worship a God. So this is the God that we are going to worship from now. And then in a verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Zumar, مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. Not only do they worship them, but they say that we don't just worship them alone. We worship them so that they can draw us close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means that they knew about Allah's existence. But how to reach to Allah is how. How are they going to do it? How do they connect? They decided to go through the idols, Manat, Lat, Uzza. That's what they did.
They made them intercessors.
Exactly. They made them intercessors and they brought them in. And subhanAllah, long story short, Mecca and the Kaaba was filled with idols.
And shirk and subhanAllah. So this is the reality of Mecca. The Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his Sahaba coming to do Hajj now, Shaykh. Okay. How was it different?
Now, as the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was given revelation and prophethood, before Hajj, he had to fight a lot in order to get Mecca.
Yeah.
To make it sure to come to Hajj now, it's because we know about the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, the most famous treaty. Majority of the Muslims do not know about that today, subhanAllah. The Treaty of Hudaybiyah, the reason the pact was there, it was because the Muslims, they wanted to do Umrah.
Yeah.
كانوا معتمرين. But they had to return and not fulfill that. And because of their devotion to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and every single part of that treaty was literally against them. Whatever they read, nothing worked on their favor. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had something, a greater purpose for them. This is what tells us about what we learned from Ibrahim alayhi salam. The Messenger just had to submit and agree with it, knowing that Allah has planned something great.
Yes.
We noticed that on the Sanat al-Sadisa, the sixth year of Hijrah, he signs the treaty, goes back to Medina. What happens is that Fathu Makkah comes in.
Two years later,
Sanat al-Thamina, eighth year. The opening of Mecca. Now, was Hajj possible before the opening of Mecca, the conquest of Mecca? No. Because as we know already, idolatry, worshipping idols, shirk of Allah, associating partners.
So you had to purify the Kaaba of all of the idolatry.
Purification was important. The most utmost work that needed to be done. Because when the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered Mecca immediately, he broke down every single idol and made sure that he purified the Kaaba and made sure the entire land was just Allah's name being chanted, Allahu Akbar, Tasbih, Tahleel, Tahmeed, Takbir.
Allahumma labbaik.
Exactly. They entered with Takbir. They entered with glorification, magnificence of Allah. That's how they entered.
SubhanAllah, Shaykh, this shows how much of a favor the Prophet ﷺ did to us.
Exactly.
And his companions by purifying the Kaaba so we can go back to our father Ibrahim. The origin of our path of our father Ibrahim, and we can start practicing and doing Hajj like he did. We can start going to the Holy Land like he did, subhanAllah.
Sah, Sayyidi. Then immediately, at the moment they've conquered Mecca, they've took the Kaaba with them, they took the Haram al-Makki and also the sacred land. Not later, basically 1 year later, Sanat al-Tasi'a, aywa, 1 year later, the ninth year, immediately Allah tells them that it is an obligation upon you to do Hajj.
To do Hajj.
SubhanAllah.
And how is it like to do Hajj with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Shaykh?
Now, subhanAllah, the Messenger was only able to do one Hajj. Hajj al-Rasul, Hajjatan Wahid. We all know that. Now, in that one Hajj, imagine, I don't even talk about Hajj itself. Imagine the people that literally attended the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. The people that literally, they were there when they conquered Mecca. The people that literally worked with the Messenger from the time he was expelled from Mecca and he went to Medina. What type of relationship did they have with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The relationship was amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, doing Hajj with the Messenger obviously would be completely different compared to how we do Hajj today.
Yeah.
Before we even get to the logistics of Hajj and all of those stuff, when the Sahabas knew that Hajj now was an obligation upon them, and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has clarified this for them, what made them to feel amazed and empowered and love the entire process is that they knew no matter what they did in Hajj, if they did something wrong, that which will nullify their Hajj, something perhaps they would make them made would be right, and they didn't know about it, they would follow the Messenger and go to him immediately and ask the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Messenger was an endless source of knowledge. How do we do this, Ya Rasulullah? I did this. Is my Hajj correct? Is my Hajj still valid? Is this okay?
Yeah.
Now imagine having someone like that who literally has connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How does it feel? Emotionally, mentally, the preparation, the spirituality. Of course, it's amazing. Now that's one part of it. The second part of it, you notice that the entire journey, they would mimic the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through everything. The Messenger, as he puts on his ihram in a narration, he would fill himself with misk until the whiteness of misk would be apparent on his hair, on his face, on his body, because he loved misk, subhanAllah, so much. Now, why did he do that? It's because he knew the moment he puts his niyyah intention, no more perfume, no nothing.
Yeah.
And the Sahabas would literally do this. SubhanAllah. And through that, we were able to learn through the Sahabas and the Messenger for that which they were able to see from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine if it wasn't for the Messenger, if Allah just tell them, فُرِضَ الْحَجُّ عَلَيْكُمْ, Hajj is now mafruḍ upon you, and having that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not being able to do it, how would it have been?
SubhanAllah. So that is the great ni'mah, SubhanAllah, Shaykh, of doing Hajj with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Shaykhna, why is this so significant for us, inshallah ta'ala? We only have less than a minute left. Please elaborate on that.
I would only ask one question, subhanAllah.
Yeah.
How many are planning to go to Hajj today? Millions.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
But subhanAllah, they cannot go to Hajj if they don't know exactly the practicalities of Hajj.
Mm.
And they don't know how to prepare themselves mentally and emotionally for Hajj. And how the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it for that 1 year, and how the Sahabas did it. If it wasn't for them, the scholars from the Sahabas, to teach us, we wouldn't have been able to do Hajj exactly the way Allah wanted us to do it.
And that is the topic of our next episode, inshallah ta'ala. Barakallahu fiqh, Shaykhna. MashaAllah, tabarakallah, brothers and sisters. It's been an amazing, amazing episode. We've learned so much, inshallah ta'ala. So we'll see you in the next episode, inshallah, where we will be talking about preparing for Hajj, inshallah ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.